Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you recently searched Google News for demons, one of the top stories is about a Canadian man on trial for attempted murder who told the court on Friday that a demon inside of him, who only comes out when the man is drunk, has been looking for a victim for years. Another top story is about an Irish Roman Catholic priest who wrote an open letter to the country's bishops, urgently calling for his church body to train more exorcists due to a recent increase in demonic activity. Whether or not we believe their claims, with our supernatural worldview, we cannot dismiss them out of hand. In fact, as we this morning consider today's gospel reading, we realize that Jesus destroys unclean spirits to save us. As you may recall from hearing last week's gospel reading, after John the Baptizer was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, calling people to repent and believe, and passing along the Sea of Galilee, calling Simon and Andrew and James and John to be fishers of men. As we heard in this morning's gospel reading, they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And immediately there was a man with an unclean spirit, on whom the power was operating within the power or sphere of an unclean spirit, whom Jesus ordered out of the man. And at once Jesus' fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. This morning we heard of Jesus' first actions involving the present kingdom of God, that St. Mark's divinely inspired account reports, at least. And as a result of those first actions, we heard of the first confrontation with the forces opposed to Jesus and his reign and rule. The unclean spirit cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The contrast is striking. The unclean spirit knows the Holy One of God. And seemingly also, the unclean spirit knows that in that Holy One's presence, he deserves judgment and its resulting destruction. The spirit was certainly unclean religiously, in that he could not be brought into contact with the divine. But the spirit was also certainly unclean morally, in that he was viciously evil. The unclean spirit possessed a man who no longer had control over himself, but was not necessarily himself guilty of more horrible sins than anyone else, but in this case was a victim of possession. Others may deliberately ally themselves with the devil, but they are not strictly possessed by an unclean spirit, or what is called elsewhere a demon. Demon possession is a particular illness of the soul, and not deliberate enmity against God. Jesus has necessarily rebuked, warned, and condemned those who allied themselves with the devil. And he generally showed mercy on and healed those who were demon-possessed, casting out their unclean spirits, as we heard this morning. Now, I'm not aware that any of us here this morning are possessed by a demon. But as we confessed this morning in the preparation of Divine Service Setting 1, we are, by nature, sinful and unclean. Perhaps somewhat in league with the devil, or at least under his influence since early after creation, we sin against God in thought, word, and deed, by what we do and by what we leave undone. Like the unclean spirit, we justly deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. But the eternal fire was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. God calls and enables us to turn in sorrow from our sin, to trust him to forgive our sin, and to want to do better than to keep on sinning in order for us to avoid that eternal fire. And when we so repent, then he forgives our sinful natures and all our sin, whatever our sin might be. He forgives our sin for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. In today's gospel reading, we heard how astonished and amazed those who heard Jesus' teaching and witnessed his miraculous deeds were. His speech and acts are one. He does not say one thing and do another. Jesus truly was and is the prophet like Moses, whom we heard about in today's Old Testament reading. But more than that, Jesus truly was and is, as the unclean spirit said, the Holy One of God, who came to destroy the works of the devil, or perhaps to free us from the devil's work. Jesus is the Son of God, our eternal Savior, the source of life and truth and grace. The Word made flesh, whose birth among us, unclean people, hallows, or that is, makes holy, all our human race. Later, Jesus' opponents accused him of being demon-possessed. And because of his healing on the Sabbath and the crowd's astonishment at his teaching, his opponents wanted to destroy him. And in fact, they did bring about the crucifixion of Jesus. But Jesus only went to the cross out of his great love in order to save all people, including you and me. After an extended period of time without any prophets, Jesus' teaching was astonishing and amazing, unlike anything the people had ever heard from their scribes or from anyone else. Arguably, Jesus' teaching was so astonishing and amazing because he did not cite any other authorities but the Old Testament and spoke about its being fulfilled by him in his reign and his rule. Jesus did not offer more law, but offered the good news and the effecting of God's kingdom of grace. For the people in the Capernaum synagogue, Jesus personally exercised God's authority and power, not only to heal, but also to forgive sins. And he does for in our time through those whom he sends, similarly, to preach his gospel and administer his sacraments. In Moses' day, the people asked for someone to go between them and God. And God said that they were right. And so still today, God gives men to speak and act with his authority and power. Pastors read and preach God's word. Whether with or without an exorcism, pastors administer holy baptism. And so wash the unclean of their sins and rescue them from death and the devil. It's especially at the baptismal font that Jesus continues to show his mercy on those who have fallen under Satan's power, and that Jesus reestablishes God's kingdom in territory over which Satan illegally rules. Pastors comfort with individual absolution those who privately confess the sins that they know and feel in their hearts. And in the sacrament of the altar, pastors distribute both in bread the body of Christ given for them and in wine the blood of Christ shed for those who receive it. And so they also distribute to us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Now, notably, in today's gospel reading, Jesus does not command the people to repent and believe. But Jesus is commanding the unclean spirit, and the unclean spirit's obedience led the people in their astonishment and amazement, to acknowledge the presence of God in Jesus and his word and miraculous deeds in their midst. Likewise, we should have proper regard for Jesus' word and sacraments, for by them we receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And as we heard in today's epistle reading, we use our freedom to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, neither causing them to stumble nor otherwise wounding their consciences. When we fail in those or other ways, as we will fail, with daily contrition and faith, we live in the forgiveness of sins. Regardless of whether or not that Canadian man is truly possessed by a demon or is found not guilty because the court thinks he might be, and regardless of whether or not the Roman Catholic Church body trains more exorcists, we know that Jesus destroys unclean spirits to save us. And we praise and thank him for that salvation, now and for eternity.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.